السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله، الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. Five days since Ramadan is over, and we all are realizing how difficult it is to maintain what you have acquired during the month of Ramadan because of a number of reasons. The first is that we all make extra effort in Ramadan because it's a special month, and we know that the reward is multiplied, and we kind of have this focus in our mind throughout the year that when Ramadan comes, I'm going to, you know, dedicate and commit myself a little more. And then there is the absence of the shayateen. Obviously, Rasulullah says the shayateen are locked away. Immediately on Eid night, there were, you know, videos of things that were going on in certain areas in the UK that are, have a concentrated Muslim population. And you see some of the things that were going on, you were like, shayateen are definitely out tonight, right? One is celebrating and one is, you know, completely going wild and beyond limits. And so the fact that shayateen are released, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the month of Ramadan says, I will do half the job for you. I'll hold off shayateen. And now you have the responsibility to control your own nafs and desires, because you have to make some effort. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to do it all for you. And so what happens is you get an opportunity to cleanse and purify yourself and get rid of certain habits and traits in the absence of shayateen. So this is a second reason. The third reason is that everybody is worshipping as a community, right? And since we're worshipping as a community, it's a lot easier because you're just sort of going with the trend. When Ramadan ends, people are not all on the same level, right? And then we stopped gathering as a community, you know, the iftar gathering and suhoor gathering and qiyam gathering and taraweeh gathering, coming to the masjid for salawat and what have you. All of these motivate us and give us the strength to maintain our commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to the deen of Allah azza wa jalla. And so now that Ramadan has gone away, we are slowly realizing that in Ramadan you won't know. You feel like, alhamdulillah, this Ramadan was amazing, this time I'm ready, inshallah, Ramadan is over, I'm going to continue with X, Y, Z, all of this worship. And then few days pass and you start to slip away. Right? And this is natural because the human being cannot stay on one level. Right? There are times where we are on a high, iman high, right? And then there are times when you are on a low. What you want is to maintain as much as it is possible for you to do so, and not kind of have this huge, you know, increase in the month of Ramadan, and then immediately Ramadan is over, you kind of, just kind of fall into an oblivion, and just kind of, you know, just dunya, and that's it. Okay, next Ramadan we'll think about deen and akhirah. And so, and this is actually, if you see Sharia, it is a very clear pathway, and it is a very straight pathway, and it requires persistence. It requires a person to be steadfast. It is unlike the worldly system. See, the worldly system goes with seasons. It changes with, like, for example, you have seasons like the summer. Okay, it's too hot. Okay, let's give people a break, right? From work, from education, yeah. And it changes the rules and the laws and what have you change with, you know, with the circumstances, you know, like a simple thing, parking, right? You have times where you're allowed to park in a certain place, other times you can't park. Why? Because of the change of circumstance in that area, events and things of that sort. Whereas the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't change. It's 5 times prayers a day throughout your life. It can be the day of your wedding. You can have a new born baby in your family, or your father could have died, or your entire family could have died in a car crash, right? Allah expects you to pray 5 times. And so it doesn't change. You fast the month of Ramadan, whether it is the Ramadan falls in December and your fasting hours are like 12, if that, or it falls in the summer and your fasting hours are like 18, 19, 20 hours, Allah says you still fast. And so the command of Allah, because it comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah doesn't change, right? Allah does not change in any way. And so His command and His path and the path that it is leading to Him does not change. However, Allah does not expect of us to maintain all the time. And this is why He gave us the door of tawbah and repentance. Because He knows that we are going to fall short and we're going to slip away. You know, He created us and He knows our nature. But He wants to see us struggle to remain on that path. He wants to see the struggle, right? And this is what He rewards for. He rewards for the struggle. Allah says, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. The one who fears standing before his Lord for judgment and prevents his lower self from fulfilling its desires, فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Jannah will be his abode or destination. And so Allah wants to see that struggle with yourself. Your nafs, it changes with, you know, Rasulullah says that the heart of a human being, you know, changes multiple times in a day, if in one hadith, 40 times in one single day. This is why it's known as qalb. They say that qalb is what? From taqallub or taqlib. It changes, right? And it goes with, it's affected by a number of things. You have emotions, right? When you're happy, your heart is in a certain state. When you're sad, your heart is in a certain state. When you're concerned, your heart is in a certain state. And then the outside circumstances also affect your heart. Your environment affects your heart. And then the things that you are looking at affect your heart. The things you listen to affect your heart. The things you speak about affect your heart. The things you think about affect your heart. You know, you can be in the worst place, you know, close your eyes and for a moment think about the most pleasant experience you've had in your life, and your heart is just enjoying that moment. Although you may be living in misery and hell in that situation, but you've removed yourself away, so you're not looking at the situation you're in, and you're focusing your mind on a time where you had, you know, a pleasant experience, you were happy, and you'll find that you feel better. And likewise, you can be on the day of Eid and think about, you know, a member of the family that you have lost, and close your eyes for a moment and think about, you know, them not being present and what have you, and you will feel sad. And so the heart changes, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this, and this is why He gave us the door to tawbah. And so istiqamah is actually steadfastness, is what Allah expects from us, and it is something that we can achieve and attain. Right. We can achieve it, but it requires a lot of effort. One hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says in a narration narrated by Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. He said, "لا يستقيم إيمان عبد حتى يستقيم قلبه." That the belief and iman of a person will not be firm and steadfast until his heart is firm and steadfast. ولا يستقيم قلبه حتى يستقيم لسانه. And the heart will not be firm and steadfast on truth until the tongue is firm and steadfast on truth. ولا يدخل رجل الجنة ولا يدخل رجل الجنة لا يأمن جاره بوائقه. And a person whose neighbor is not safe from harm will not enter paradise. What we want is the first two points or sentences of the hadith, that you cannot be steadfast and firm until your heart is steadfast and firm on Iman. And that cannot be achieved until your tongue is firm. And so let us look at what is the steadfastness of the heart, or what are the actions of the heart. The actions of the heart are loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having hope in the reward and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fearing the anger and the wrath and punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, humility, realization that we are insignificant, right? Considering others to be better than ourselves, tawadu, humility. This is an action of the heart. Not accepting the fate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destined for you is an action of the heart. Whether it is good, when it is good, you are thankful. When it is hardship and difficult and unpleasant, you are patient. This is your heart worshipping Allah, right? And this is how Allah wants the heart of the believer to be. That you hold no rancor, no jealousy, no hatred, right? No ill feeling towards anybody. Because you realize that actually anything that is unpleasant that may come to you through anybody has been destined by Allah. And so you stop holding people responsible. And you know that everything is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so there is no need to be jealous anymore. You know, somebody has something that you desire, you're not going to be envious or jealous of that person, because you know it is Allah who destined it for him or her and has not destined it for you, perhaps, or perhaps not at this present moment. And so this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from. If the heart has these qualities, only then will it is impossible for the actions that will stem from this body to be bad actions, to be displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be sins. It's not possible. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith that the heart is in charge of the rest of the limbs. And every morning, the limbs say to the heart that fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are straight, we will remain straight. And if you are crooked, then we will become crooked. The limbs are the soldiers of the heart. The heart is the king. And so the heart makes the decisions and calls out, and then the limbs will follow the orders. Now the question is, how often am I looking and peeking into this heart? Do I do this? Do I sit with myself and think about my heart? Is my heart pure? Because the only people that will be saved on the day of Qiyamah, as Ibrahim alayhi salam said, or Allah relays to us what he said, إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ, pure heart. And this is what we are seeking to achieve through all of our acts of worship, is purification of the heart. Salah, purification of the heart. Quran, Allah says it is a cure for the heart. Dhikr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the heart find contentment in dhikr. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, those who believe and their hearts find tranquility through the remembrance of Allah. So Allah wants the heart of the believer has to be a tranquil heart, like content. Things don't change, the situations will change, but the heart remains, you know, on the same level. They say one of the Salihin, who was a trader, and he received information that, you know, your caravan or your wealth that was being transported for business purposes was in a ship that sank, and all of your capital and everything is gone. And so he took a moment and he said, Alhamdulillah. Moments later, somebody comes and says, no, actually it wasn't you know, your ship, it was another. And so your wealth is safe. And then he takes a moment and he says, Alhamdulillah. And so people said to him, you know, in both situations, Alhamdulillah, what is the meaning of this? He said, you know, I took a moment when I received the bad news and I asked my heart, are you pleased with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destined? My heart said, well, it was given to us by Allah and it was taken by Allah, so Alhamdulillah. And I was pleased. And then when I received the news that actually that information was wrong, then I looked at my heart and I said, what is the state of my heart now? And the heart said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been kind and generous to us, Alhamdulillah. And so the dhikr is to bring that tranquility, because you're aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so if you are, and dhikr doesn't mean only when you sit and say subhanallah, Alhamdulillah. Dhikr is, see, there is a command of Allah directed to us in every moment, every situation. You are happy, you're sad, morning, evening, summer, winter, with your family, with your colleagues, with your friends, with your enemy. In any moment, every moment of the life of the Muslim, there is a command of Allah directed to you. When you fulfill that command of Allah, that is your dhikr. You are fasting. Let's say, for example, we are fasting now. We should be, inshallah, fasting the 6 days of Shawwal. Rasulullah says, and you see why Rasulullah has asked us to fast these 6 days, and how difficult it is to fast the 6 days in comparison to the month of Ramadan, because everybody's fasting. Ramadan ends, some people say 1 day of Eid, some people say 3 days of Eid, and then we'll start. And then some, do you understand? But anyway, if you follow it by 6 days, Rasulullah, and you can fast it throughout the month of Shawwal, throughout the month of Shawwal. It doesn't have to be 6 consecutive days. And for brothers and sisters who have to make up certain fast of the month of Ramadan, they can make that up, you know, in the rest of the year. But trying to focus in fulfilling these 6 fasts, because you get the reward of fasting the entire year. Who doesn't want that reward, right? But if the mind and the heart are not focused, and then we forget. Anyway, the point we were making is that the remembrance, being fulfilling the command of Allah, is a remembrance of Allah. When you are tired going to bed, that is remembrance of Allah. If you do it, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded me. Allah says, He has made the day for you to strive and the night for you to rest. And so this is a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this is your dhikr. You are fasting, the time of Maghrib came, you had the date, this is dhikr. Why? You are eating because Allah commanded you that when Maghrib comes, you eat. You don't have an option. On the day of Eid, you are not permitted to fast. Why? Because Allah said to you, you are not permitted. So you are in a state of dhikr and remembrance. In order to rectify, so all of the worship is dhikr. And all of dhikr is to rectify the heart, is targeted to the heart. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the second thing he pointed to, your tongue. Your heart cannot be steadfast and firm until your tongue is steadfast and firm. And this is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the munafiq, the signs of a munafiq. Munafiq is what? Is a state of heart. What shows you the state of that heart? The tongue. Nifaq is, the evidence of nifaq is the tongue. Because the tongue is the interpreter or translator or the spokesman for the heart. The heart you can't see. This is why Allah says, don't make judgment on people. Allah knows who is righteous, who is not. You can't. But what comes out of the tongue will tell you whether a person is a hypocrite or not. In the qualities of a hypocrite, Rasulullah said what? إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذَبْ. When he speaks, he lies. This is what? Action of the tongue. وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفْ. When he makes a promise with his tongue, he breaks the promise. And the third one is وَإِذَا خَاصَمَ فَجَرْ. And when he is in argument or in a fight, he becomes obscene. He uses obscene language and foul language. So it shows what is inside his heart. And so focus on what you say. Rasulullah said, if you focus on these two things, and whatever it is that you are doing, you know, you're at work, you're enjoying your time with family, it doesn't matter. But the mind, our minds is only about, what do I eat? What do I drink? Where do I live? What do I do to enjoy myself? And then this is all when we are young. And then when we get a little bit older, what do my children eat? What do my children drink? Where are my children gonna stay? What should my... That's all our focus from the moment we wake up. It shouldn't be, because all of those things have been destined by Allah. Allah says those things are already guaranteed. What I ask of you is go out and do the work. But my mind should be focused on this. Is my heart in a good place? Is Allah pleased with my heart? When Allah looks at my heart, is Allah pleased with it? We've mentioned before that Allah makes a complaint to the son of Adam that your outer appearance, look how much effort. On the day of Eid, people were in the barber shop until when? 12, 1 o'clock. Allahu Akbar. Why? Because the hair needs to be set. Imagine. For what? Today your hair is not set. Tomorrow, why is it so important? Oh, because we're going to be with people and gathering, and it's the day of celebration. Yeah? And people sat there for 3-4 hours doing nothing. Just sitting, waiting to get this haircut. To look good. And then you went out shopping and bought the best clothes and spent money and what have you to look good. Allah says you do all of that for the eyes of people. And you never do anything about your heart. And that's where I look. I don't look at what, you know, what your hair looks like or what your body looks like or what you are wearing. I'm not interested by that. I'm interested in how is your heart? Is your heart pure? Is it filled with the love of Allah? Is it filled with the fear of Allah? Is it thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it seeking to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And so if we keep, you know, throughout the day, whenever you get an opportunity, think about, where is my heart at? You're driving, you're going to work. Where is my heart at? What am I thinking about? What is important in my life? Am I thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has given me all of these blessings and to whom I will return and who has prepared an eternal life for me? And then my tongue, whenever I speak, be conscious that my in order for my heart to be rectified, I have to say the right thing. Right? And then every now and then think about, in general, how do I use my tongue? How much do I lie? How much do I make ghibah and backbite about people? Right? How often do I break promises? Just take an account and then make a promise that inshallah I'm. Rasulullah said in relation to deen, the deen of Allah is, you know, it's extremely difficult. It's not easy. It's only easy for the one that is given ability and tawfiq from Allah. This is why when you speak to a non-Muslim and say, fasting, no drink, no food, no coffee, no nothing, 20 hours, 19 hours, very difficult. How do you do that? It's tawfiq from Allah. Allah gives you the ability when He sees that you are sincere and you're doing what you can. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you the ability. So ability comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Rasulullah said that the deen of Allah is, it is difficult. And so you cannot do everything that is expected of you. You're required to fulfill the obligations and do whatever voluntary you can. You can't be like Rasulullah. That's not possible. Right? You can't be like Sahaba. That's not possible. But what is possible for you is fulfill the obligations. Because Allah says, I don't overburden anyone. And so if I make something compulsory, that means it is easy for you. Then He said, قَارِبُوا وَسَدِّدُوا. These are two types of commitments. One is sadad. You know, sadad is to be precise and be firm. This is a person who is, mashallah, fulfills all the commands of Allah, stays away from all haram. If you can't do that, Rasulullah said, قَارِبُوا, be close to that. Do the best you can. Allah says, اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ, fear Allah as much as it is possible for you. Right? And so, you know, it is not expected that overnight or just because the month of Ramadan, you're just going to come on this straight path and remain on it. No. But قَارِبُوا, If you can't be completely on it all the time, then when you realize, you bring yourself back. Whenever you realize that you have veered off or you are going up, you bring yourself back. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive the shortcomings. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you, as a result of the efforts, He will make you steadfast and firm. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us steadfast and firm on the deen of Allah, so that we can attain what? The purpose of all of this talking and all of these actions and all of this life that we have been given is to attain success. This is what the Mu'adhin is now going to stand and say, Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala al-falah. We want success in this life. We want to be successful human beings in this life. And most importantly, we want to be successful in Akhirah, because that is an eternal success. SubhanAllah, bihamdihi, subhanakallah, bihamdika.